Hello, everyone. Thank you for joining us. My name is Daryl Urbanski, your host as always. And today we are joined by Harold Bautista, a multifaceted leader and entrepreneur. As the founder and CEO of Callhounds Global, president of Verspacio Realty Corporation, and CEO of Aurora Group, Harold has carved a niche in real estate management, marketing, and business process outsourcing. With an MBA in tech management, he brings over a decade of experience across various global markets, including North America and Asia. Harold is known for his strategic acumen and commitment to providing innovative solutions. I've asked him to join us here today to share his journey, plus ideas on business growth and exploring the future of entrepreneurship and customer experience. Harold, thank you so much for joining us today. How are you doing?
Thank you so much for having me today. It's been a pleasure. This is our second time talking. I've heard a lot of your podcasts. I've listened to a lot of your interviews, and I'm glad to be here. I'm doing great.
Oh, that's an honor and a pleasure. I appreciate the deep research. So you know that the first thing I usually ask is, how did you even get into this? Is this something that your parents did? Is this a generational trade, so to speak, that you're walking in? Are you walking down the trail that your grandfather blazed for you, or is this something totally new?
You know what? It's really funny because when I look at my parents, they're traditional, they're hardworking, they've been employees for pretty much their whole lives, right? So that kind of set my mind into becoming an employee myself, right? But I am a Leo. I have this personality that I cannot, to be honest with you, I cannot work with any bosses at all. I've had that since I was in 11th grade, if I'm not mistaken, right? So when I was in high school, I started, I don't know, charging 10 pesos or 20 pesos to write homeworks for my classmates. That's how I started. And when I was in college, I started selling gadgets, digital cameras to my classmates or to people online. Back then we had Sulit.com. Now we have Carousel, basically. So, right? So when I graduated college, I moved to Korea. And then I took up MBA and I started a company called Branding in Asia. So Branding in Asia is basically a company that helps businesses start their marketing career in terms of branding, how they brand themselves. It's basically an online magazine that helps businesses, right? Then I sold that to a company in Korea and I started working for a company that manufactures hair and skin analyzers as their head of PR and marketing. By doing that, I met a lot of people from Procter & Gamble, from Nivea, from a lot of multinational companies based in the US and Europe, because I spent pretty much most of my time traveling. And one of this guy from, I'm not going to disclose from which company, but he was like asking me, hey, Harry, they call me Harry, by the way. Hey, Harry, do you know any company in the Philippines that can actually help us in our business processes? Because basically here in the US, the costs is very much, it's very high. We cannot afford this type of cost. So if you can help us, we'd like to outsource it to the Philippines. Can you help us? Do you know anyone? Can you connect us to anyone in the Philippines? Then suddenly an idea struck my mind. And then I said, you know what? Let me handle it. Yeah. So I contacted my friends, my families in the Philippines. I've asked them to help me register the business. And I know a lot of people who work in the business process outsourcing industry. So I tried to crash course. And you know what, to be honest with you, I crash course this in a span of a month. In 1 month, I was able to absorb all the knowledge that they've had. Then I was able to get it started in about 2.5 months. By then, we hired the first 7 agents. And then fast forward to today, we have more than 2,000 employees.
Wow. Wow. Congratulations. So was it just smooth sailings the whole way? It sounds like you got an MBA and you got some experience and then you got your first client, you had 7, and now you're at 2,000. Was it just like the pearly gates, the skies parted and money rained down from the sky and it was just sunshine and rainbows the whole time? Or have you had to go through some stuff to get to where you are now?
To be honest with you, it's not all rainbows and sunshine. It's just like every entrepreneur out there would tell you, it's not always the best days of your life. To be honest with you, especially during pandemic, became like a blessing in disguise to us, because a lot of businesses in the US, a lot of their employees resigned, or a lot of their employees are reliant on this government subsidy if you don't have work. I'm pretty sure you're familiar to that. and people are not coming to work because of the COVID issue. So that's one of the driver why a lot of business in the US started to outsource to countries in Southeast Asia and near shore, in, for example, Mexico, right? So that's one of the biggest factor. However, government compliance is here in the Philippines a little bit tricky. We were a startup company. Funding is a little bit difficult for us. Here in the Philippines, you need to have at least 3-year track record of a very good financial statement before you can borrow from the bank. Even though like we have a lot of inquiries, we cannot accommodate all of those inquiries because we don't have a lot of funding. As a business process outsourcing, you have to provide the actual physical office space, purchase all the equipment, rent the space. We're talking about millions of dollars of investments here. We're not just talking $100,000 or even 100,000 pesos to start the operation going. Because what they would expect from you is for you to have the same standard, if not better, here in the Philippines, because they're trying to outsource their business process to you. They don't want their customers to have better experience there than here, right? So,
the quality,
right, exactly.
Team are better. Yeah,
exactly. That's what I'm trying to say. So that's one issue that we were facing at the beginning, but we were able to manage that. To be honest with you, we had to borrow money from friends and family members. Me, myself, I've invested a lot of money in this business. And we were lucky because they were very nice. They were very good. I think we were just lucky that way. Another thing is that here in the Philippines, during the pandemic, we were lucky because pretty much most of the office spaces is on their pandemic rate, right? So it's 50% off in rentals all over the Philippines. That's why a lot of people were like taking advantage of those. So we were very happy. So we had a multi-year lease. So that helped us a lot. However, after the pandemic, once it's over, a lot of landlords increase their rates already. For example, we had an office in Ortigas. We have two offices in Ortigas, but we had another office in Ortigas that we had to shut down because they've actually tripled the rate. So those are some of the goods and bads that we've experienced. And we had to open one site in Eastwood City. It's one of our biggest, actually, because basically they haven't, you know, shut down their pandemic rate yet. Yeah, we were able to find that spot.
Yeah. They say invest when there's blood in the streets.
Right.
When there's blood in the streets, it's the best time to invest. The best time
to sign
contracts, stuff like that, because everybody thinks the world's about to end. And maybe they're right. I don't know. But so what were some of the biggest challenges then? I mean, obviously the pandemic was a major challenge and everyone having to work remotely for a period of time and that. What have been some of the biggest challenges in the history of the company and how have you overcome them?
So we are a business process outsourcing company. So basically, manpower is our bread and butter, right? So here in the Philippines, especially during the pandemic, a lot of people started working from home.
Right.
So they got used to it. They got used to the hybrid setup. But in our company's case, we never had a work from home setup. So that's our key advantage. Basically, that's our selling point to our clients in the US, because to be honest with you, they didn't like people working from home, because the traditional business owners in the US, they would say that working from home, it might not be as productive. There's a lot of big shift now. It's shifting back to normal. Like a lot of people are now working back in the offices. There's a big surge of people coming back to the office. So we have to onboard a lot of people on a monthly basis. We're probably onboarding 100 people to 200 people every month, right? And a lot of these people, because they're so used to working from home, they tend to ask this setup. And as a company, as a business process outsourcing company, there's a lot of competition in the market. So if companies, those popular companies out there, the multinational companies out there are offering this setup, you tend to give in.
Yeah.
But
yeah. Sorry. I don't want to put words in your mouth, but I've been working remotely since 2012, maybe earlier. And I've seen and done and tried so many different things. And you just, at the end of the day, you're never going to train a championship NBA team over Zoom. You're just not.
Exactly.
You're never going to do that. For me and my business, and I would love to hear what you're doing and what your clients, but for us, it's 2 days in person, Monday and Friday, and two meetings a week, Monday, Thursday. So Thursday's like a remote Zoom meeting, Monday's in person, and Friday's in person. And I've talked to some other, I can share what I've heard from other guests as well, but I'd love to hear about your, yeah, how do you navigate that? Are you hybrid now? Are you still fully 100%? Because people aren't, not everybody can, like some people can.
Exactly. Right.
But
Especially
not
in the Philippines. Especially in the Philippines, not all of the homes there in the Philippines are conducive for work, right? It's not the perfect environment to be productive. Sometimes you'll hear children running around. Not everyone has a proper workspace at home. So that's something that we have to consider. To be honest with you, in our case, our back office, they have a hybrid setup. So pretty much some of them are actually working from home on specific days. Let's say 4 days a week, they work on site, and then 1 day a week, they work at home. So I think that's perfect for us. That's working, actually, to be honest with you, because it's like as if they have 3 days off, because on a Friday, they don't tend to work full time. So some of them are just attending meetings and so on and so forth. But in our agent's case, most of our agents are actually working on site because the tools, the security, the privacy, especially if we're working with a fintech company or if we're working with a data security related company, such as e-commerce company. So that's something that we have to work with, right? So we cannot allow them to actually work from home. Right.
Especially, I think some of you... Forgive me if I'm wrong, but you guys do a lot of phone stuff as well. That's something that you can't really have a bunch of, can't have 100 agents in 100 different locations.
Exactly.
Yeah, and maintain quality.
And another thing, so since a lot of these companies, other companies are offering work from home setup, like they call it permanent work from home setup, right? We have to compete. So our tendency is not to offer this setup, but to offer other perks and benefits. Mm-hmm. So that actually adds on our costs. So for example, instead of providing one health insurance, we provide multiple health insurance for further dependents. Instead of just providing a 13-month pay, we provide 14-month pay, for example, and so on and so forth, just to be competitive. Of course, it's not for all of the accounts that we have, just specific accounts. So.
Specific, yeah. For us, how we did we've got a yes, but with the days in person, we provide lunch and then we pay their transpo for the team, which does start adding up as the team's been growing. But I think it was GMA. They had one mandatory, everyone has to be in the office day, and then one other day you have to be at the office if you're like, I don't want to say non-essential, but certain roles can be just days at week. But then it's Thursday by the desk was one, or Thursdays, you don't have to take meetings or anything, but you have to be at your desk all day. So it was like, I guess there's 3 days in person, but one of them, it's like Wednesday and Thursday, I guess. Wednesday, you have to be there. Thursday by your desk, no meetings, just at your desk.
Right.
You have free time to work on projects that maybe you think are important versus your boss.
Exactly.
And then everyone's finding different ways to adapt. So I think it's super fascinating and interesting. Working with so many different clients and agents, I want to know, what do you feel are some of the biggest mistakes that these people are making in their businesses? Like when you have clients come to you, a lot of times they might be coming to you because things aren't working. Some are just coming because they've got something that works and they just need to hand it off to someone to do it better. But a lot of people are coming to you and they think they know what the problem is, but they don't even know what the problem is, if that makes sense.
I do understand what you're trying to say. Now, I'm going to be totally honest with you, right?
Sure.
If not all, almost all of our clients, they have a very good foundation in terms of their processes, right? Mm-hmm. So before they start outsourcing, most of them already know what they want to outsource. Mm-hmm. So that's a very good thing for a company, because I would say this to anyone out there, to every company out there, before you start outsourcing, know your process, set your process first, set the foundation, because if you outsource without setting up your foundation, you're bound to fail, right? Mm-hmm. Now, some of the mistakes, not really mistakes, but some of the things that I guess I can say this only due to the big corporations out there, the multinational corporations out there, because they tend to be so big already. Sometimes the decision process, the bureaucracy is there. It takes time, right? Even when they start to outsource their business, some of the decision-making, for example, I'm only going to speak about a specific account. For example, we have an e-commerce account. Basically, we have customer support and AI customer support out there. So if it's not in the rule book, but that's the first scenario that we've experienced, that they had to go to the director in somewhere in North America or somewhere in South America to decipher that specific issue. And sometimes it costs a lot of PR issues with your customer. It affects the brand's image and so on and so forth. So I guess flexibility is a little bit different in every company, especially if you're a big corporation. But I guess that's one thing that I can think of on top of my mind. But we're very lucky because most of our clients, before they start outsourcing, they have a pretty much that foundation.
Got it. So that's, maybe I'll ask the opposite of that then. What are the commonalities amongst your most successful? So one is they know their process before they try to outsource it. They don't come to you and expect you to solve their, help our, save our business. They've got a business and they're coming to you to improve operations and efficiency. What are some of the other commonalities amongst the most successful clients you work with, whether it's in their marketing strategy or in how they work with you? What do you just see for people that are listening?
So right now, we're actually supporting a total customer base of around 5 million customers worldwide. So imagine how many people we're supporting, right? And these are companies in the e-commerce sector, in the fintech sector, in the security sector, and basically other verticals out there, right? Some of the best practices that these companies have in common, to be honest with you, is basically having an FGD every once in a while, understanding what's really happening. I think that's one practice that every business out there should be doing, no matter how big or small you are. A focus group discussion would basically fix a lot of things. It doesn't matter if you're talking to your outsourcing partner, if you're just talking with your internal team. Sometimes having a focus group discussion solves a lot of issues. Mm-hmm. Because let's face it, even if we're all working in the same office, there's a lot of misunderstanding, especially if you have processes printed out already, sent out to their emails, right? What more if you are outsourcing halfway across the world?
Oh, yeah.
So that's one best practices that we've been doing. And we find it very helpful. It doesn't matter whether it's improving their CX or customer experience, because a lot of companies out there, they're outsourcing because they want to improve their customer experience. So basically, that's one thing. If you want to improve your customer experience, you have to make sure that you have a good team doing FGD, if not on a monthly basis, on a weekly basis, to address the different issues of your customers. Because customers, I know there's a saying that customers is always right. I think that's outdated. Yeah, that's not always the case. But you have to make sure that your customers is always being taken care of. Addressing the problem with customers.
Yeah, right. Not always right, but you always have to treat them human.
Exactly. So that's how I see it.
Yeah. So, all right. So focus group discussions regularly, really focus on improving customer experience and obsessing over that. Anything else that you think is a high priority?
For most companies out there, especially those that are already with us, right? A lot of them, when they started outsourcing, they had this thing that they would tell us every beginning. All right, Harry, we had this best experiences. We had a lot of customers in North America that are already, basically the growth rate for that is around 80% over time, the last 3 years, right? Now, we want to keep that going. And basically, if they want to replicate that in the Philippines, because they're outsourcing to us, they want to train us. They want to train our team. They want to make sure. So the best practices, especially when you're outsourcing here in the Philippines, is for you to basically send your people, especially those people with the best practices from your country, from your company, to your partner outsourcing provider in the Philippines. And that way, we will be able to replicate what are the best things that you're already doing. And we will add on our experience to that and make sure we provide the best, or if not better, customer experience here. Because I can only talk about customer experience, because basically, that's one of the main selling point of outsourcing.
I really like that. Is it different for different things? If you have people in customer service versus sales roles versus tech, I don't. Are you specializing in one thing? Or I guess my question is, it sounds like a really good rule of thumb to train and model off your best people. Hands right. down. And to invest in that. That's why it's called human resources, because they're a resource. If you can train them, get them up and running, be very valuable. Is there any nuance between like marketing and salespeople versus customer support people versus something else when it comes to outsourcing?
It really depends. So we have different models in terms of outsourcing. We have the fully managed, which is a business process outsourcing, meaning you don't have to think about anything, right? So your business process will be transferred to us, the knowledge, the processes, the tools that you're using, we will manage everything. And we do have what we call staff leasing. So this is a solution wherein a company, let's say headquartered in Canada or in the UK, would still want to manage your team, but we're only going to be managing their documentation, their payroll, et cetera, et cetera. So these are the type of business model that we have, or solution that we have, right? Yeah. Now, in terms of a fully managed outsourcing, in this case, it depends per role. Right. If we're talking about, let's say, a sales manager that you're going to be outsourcing from us, of course, this is more of a decision maker. This is more of a management level role. Right. In this case, a training directly from your team, because we're not going to hire people without experience. Of course, most of the people that we hire, they already have experience of at least 5 to 10 years, especially in this kind of role. But an additional sometimes training materials from your team, every product is different. Every market is different. So, of course, it varies depending on the role that you're outsourcing. When it comes to just agent level, we do have an LMS tool that we use to train them. We do have, on top of the training materials that the client will send to us or submit to us, normally we will have our trainer be trained by them first, and then that's how we cascade down the line. So basically, it really depends. Your question is, how does it vary depending on the role, right? Yeah. So well, how do we train those? So we do have...
If I was outsourcing customer service, I would want a different, perhaps a more relaxed cadence of reporting and stats updates than if,
right,
like phone salespeople, I want to hear about them 3 times a day type thing.
Right.
And so that's why I'm asking the difference in that part. And I think you started talking about one, obviously you have to start with highly qualified people. You have to be really clear on modeling the best performers and having the process down by someone there, boots on the ground in your office, that's there able to work with the staff and people. But then even then, when it comes to, I guess it's fully managed. Are there people that have fully managed that they still want daily reports? Or again, I guess I'm fumbling around the question, but yeah, I'm trying to specify and clarify for people also listening, like the span of things that you can outsource. Because I think
people think
of outsourcing just the lower task stuff that you're not so worried about. But when I think about, and I keep going back to sales, but it's really because it's the most, it brings in the money for the company, right? And company, really tough for a company to hand off sales to somebody.
So I guess the question here is that it depends based on the type of campaign that you have. So for example, if you have a telemarketing campaign or telesales campaign or a sales campaign as a whole, that's different, because that's, in that case, you do have a weekly, for example, business review. How mm-hmm. does the campaign going, right? Unlike if we're talking about the traditional customer support, and that way we can just generate the data, average handling time, average resolution time, let the customer satisfaction, the DSAT customer dissatisfaction, how many chats were able to achieve, or how many customers really were able to help in a span of a minute or two. Those are the most important factors out there. But in terms of telesales and telemarketing, we're talking about sales and marketing, right? You spend a lot of money because you run a company, you boost ads, and then you want it to be directed to us as your outsourcing provider. In that way, a weekly QBR is actually, a weekly business review is actually very important on top of the quarterly business mm-hmm. review. In yeah. that way, we're able to manage every campaign accordingly. We're able to manage whether it's going up or going down, if it's mm-hmm. if the traction is increasing or decreasing. So that's how we handle a lot of accounts. We have content moderation, we have telemarketing policies, customer support. We do even have tech support, and we do have a lot of back office outsourcing as well. Mm-hmm. Now, the main difference between those are depending on the client. Now, right. Some of the clients out there, they would prefer to receive a lot of reports on a daily basis. Some of them would prefer to receive reports on a monthly basis. So it really depends on how complex the account itself or right. the tools that they're using. Because some clients, they already have a tool that they would like us to use, and they have a visibility. Right. Yeah. If something is not working, they can easily tell you, all right, team, I think we need to jump on a focus group discussion, or right. we need to dive in further. Why is this happening? And so right. on and so forth.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. You mentioned mm-hmm. tools there. I want to ask, what do you think the things are going to be in 5, 10 years? There's been a lot of disruption geopolitically, technology, mm-hmm. past couple of years alone. What are you expecting, anticipating over the next 5, 10 years?
I'm going to be honest with you. As a BPO company, our main bread and butter is basically manpower, right? Mm-hmm. With the rise of AI technology, that actually a lot of people would think that would actually kill our industry, right? Because no longer you would need like a human answering you, because everything can be uploaded on this big data database, right? That's not true. According to the study published in 2020, when AI was just starting, right? The more AI takes over, the more human support you would need. Because imagine all of this data being uploaded, you need people verifying those. And sometimes customers, they're more, I can only speak based on our experience because we're already using AI tools. A lot of the times customer would just ask, because if you type on every chat human inbox that you will see, talk to human.
Yeah.
The AI cannot replicate a human. So we have to have people addressing these issues. There's an escalation level that we can still support. A lot of AI tools out there, I guess I can only speak about AI, but it's because it's a biggest shift nowadays, right? But to be honest with you, in the next 5 to 10 years, more than AI, I guess a lot of tools will be mainly cloud-based, mm-hmm. right? On-premise databases would be gone. On-premise security features will be gone, such as your firewall server, et cetera, et cetera. Everyone is being uploaded on cloud. So everyone is being, every tool that you have on site is being
right
transferred to cloud.
Yeah, that's it. I heard someone, I saw this meme. It was Morpheus from The Matrix. And he said, what if I told you cloud was just someone else's computer?
Basically, that's it. True. Cloud is basically a database stored in remote locations. Remember, Microsoft has a cloud database basically underneath the Antarctic Ocean because it's cooler there. So basically, it's that. But it's very costly to maintain right. this. I can speak from experience because our server room is packed with a lot of data storage, and it's very expensive to maintain them. You cannot easily replace one without buying the expensive one. So basically, that's right. how it is. Right. So cost-wise, it's getting cheaper and cheaper in the long run. So a lot of businesses, even the startup companies, it's a lot easier for them to host this elsewhere. Before you can start an app, you have to have your own server physically. Now it's a lot easier for you to build an app, a web, or whatever technology in fintech that you're thinking of. It's a lot easier for them to do that now.
Yeah,
I can only imagine it in the next 5 years and 10 years.
Yeah, fair enough. And they've been saying that the computers were going to replace us forever now. Maybe it will happen someday, but when the tractor first came out, they said we wouldn't need farmers anymore. And when the calculator came out, they said we wouldn't need mathematicians anymore. And then when spreadsheets came out, they said that departments of accountants and bookkeepers would be laid off because we could just have a sheet with formulas and not need accountants and bookkeepers anymore. I just think this iteration on a long road of kicking the can down the road that we're never going to get rid of humans because we're humans. And so as long as we're here, we're going to want to deal with other ones of us. But we're right now, you and I are already cyborgs. We're already doing this meeting through mics and ones and zeros, sending our internet across. Geographically, we're so far, we're already cyborgs. So I just think this is just the next generation of tools for us as cybernetic beings. It's just not plugged into our skin. I don't know if I want it under my skin, but yeah, I agree with you in that we're never going to get rid of the human touch. I just don't.
Right.
To do more. I think Gmail serves 1.5 billion people and they have a team of 40 engineers. Flix beat Blockbuster for movie rentals and they've got the same thing. They've got a fraction of the staff that they had before, but there's more people on the planet than there's ever been. And unemployment is not necessarily any higher than it's ever been either. People have other things to do to create value. Yeah, I'm with you on that one.
Yeah, I'm going to give you one insight here, like from Indeed and Glassdoor. According to these two job portals, in the past 2 years, there's a sudden surge of requirement manpower-wise in terms of data security, cybersecurity, AI engineers, and so on and so forth. And basically, another one is customer support, right? Basically, you know, you need all of these cybersecurity expert, data security expert, and the AI expert to do the back end. But you need people to address the concerns of the individuals. There is one company, so it's a BPO company. They're actually based in Latin America. And their actual customer supports are training the AIs. Because who else will feed this AI situational basis scenarios, right? Yeah. Every scenario is, I would say every scenario is unique. There's no specific experience of you that is the same with me. All right.
Yeah. That's like Google search. Something like 40% of all Google searches have never been searched for before. A shockingly large number have never been searched for before, the thing. So it's like trying to predict the future. I think that's a really powerful thing. So what do you think are some of the most important skills and behaviors for people to develop now?
To be honest with you, just like what I've said earlier, cybersecurity, data security, and AI engineering are the top most expertise that I think, especially the younger generation, should focus on. Back then, it was being a nurse or being a doctor or being, I don't know, a politician, whatever. But nowadays, besides those three, I think one more can be focused on more by a younger generation, and that's becoming an entrepreneur. To be honest with you, who else would utilize all of these technology? Honest with you, I'm a member of PCCI, Philippine Chamber of Commerce, basically, right? I'm a board member of Contact Center World. And I really promote entrepreneurship, too, especially with the younger people out there who are aspiring to be an entrepreneur, right? So I think it's really nice to see young people venturing out there, because there's no other time to do it.
Yeah, it's never been easier. It's never been easier.
Never been easier.
You can go on Amazon, you can go into Facebook groups, you can go on Reddit, and you can just scroll through pages and pages of people pouring out their hearts and souls, where before it would cost $1 million to put people on all the street corners of all the major cities with clipboards and paper and have some sort of bribe to get people to do your survey and then tally it all. And now it's just spat out for you. And it's just, here you go. Here's what everyone needs and is looking for. And I think that's so powerful. And that's such a great tip. I want to add one. You've said it, but you've said it indirectly. People skills. So yes, security, the data security, the AI engineers, customer support, the entrepreneurship, and the people skills. Because the one thing that you've mentioned is that we still want to deal with
people.
We still enjoy those interactions. So the people skills thing, I think, is really good. Because with everyone getting so plugged into stuff, I think that's almost a lost art. It's becoming...
Exactly. Yeah. Especially when people are working from home 100%, some of them are losing touch with the skill set, right?
Yeah, the social skills.
You remember most of the time when you and I were younger, during our first time working for a company, sometimes when we're in the pantry, we talk with our colleague. That personal touch is now lost.
Yeah. The meetings, the management by walking around, all those things are still super important. And that comes down to the people skills, the EQ, the emotional. I think that's a really important thing as well. Yeah. Harold, this has been a great interview. Is there anything I haven't asked you yet that I should have asked you?
To be honest with you, there's one, I think.
Get into it.
I've actually started a company called Respasha Realty Corporation. Now, one of the main reasons why we've started this business is because one of our business model is basically a co-working space, right? So it's not just a typical co-working space out there. So what we're doing is basically we're helping businesses get their business from ground up. So we're supporting them from business registration to actually helping them build their website, to help them find a specific office space, because we do have private offices for lease. We help them onboard their first client by utilizing our launchpad. So it's an incubation kind of place, right, for business startups out there. One of the main reasons why we started this business is because of the pandemic. A lot of people out there, such as WeWork, they've lost billions of dollars because of pandemic, right? Not a lot of people are going to work, but that's because a lot of the companies out there signed up a long-term lease with them, right? But nowadays, there is a big shift with hybrid setup. So a lot of our clients with this current company is that they come to work twice a week, right? They don't really need an expensive office for that.
That's right.
So they tend to look for a company or service provider that offers this kind of subscriptions.
Right.
So they get access with all the amenities, the meeting rooms, a perfect view on the 31st floor, overlooking BGC, Makati, and Ortigas skyline. And of course, you don't need to pay for your electricity, water, internet, IT support, maintenance, and so on and so forth. All you have to think about is managing your business, any support that you need. The good thing about this, it's a perfect place to network, especially if you're a startup company in the Philippines. So for those companies who are looking, like for example, who are looking to start their business, get it ground up, I think this kind of location is the perfect place for you guys to start that. Because especially if you don't have any network, this is the best place to do that.
You can't do business sitting on your ass. You got to get out there and meet other people and find people to partner with and do deals. And a lot of that involves being where other people are. And it can be really tough sitting isolated online. I had a real struggle with that when I first moved to the Philippines because I went to Palawan. And for those of you, Palawan's very rural. And so
I know.
I was living in San Diego and I'm going to all these big conferences all the time. Now I'm living on a remote island with relatively stable internet, and you can still connect with people, but it's not the same as being in the same physical space. And so I definitely agree with that 100%, 100%. If people want to learn more about that, where do they go and find out?
Oh, simply just go to www.virspacio.com. So that's www.virspacio.com.
So that's VirspaCio, right?
.com. That's correct.
Virspacio, VirspaCio.com. Harold, this has been a great interview. You've given lots of great insights. I've got a page of notes here. If people want to connect with you, if they want to get in touch, or if they've got something they want to outsource, is there a better way for them to, how do they get in touch? What's the best way for them to connect?
Right. Just simply go to our website, www.callhounds.com. Again, that's www.callhounds.com. We have a sales team 24/7. Our standard operating hours is Eastern Standard Time, to be honest with you, but we have a sales team that addresses your concern or your inquiry 24/7.
Got it. So you can go to callhounds.com, callhounds. Call them 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Harold, thank you so much for your time and attention. I know you've got your own direct reports. You've got multiple businesses. You're involved with the chamber. You've got so much going on. Thank you for coming and taking some time out of your busy day to come share with my audience and I.
It's my pleasure, Daryl. Thank you so much for having me. Have a good one.